this is Shuffle, your backstage pass to Northeast Ohio's music scene. I'm Brittany Nader. This week, we hear from Cleveland composer Ryan Charles Raymer, who created a three-movement sonata for solo piano that was used as inspiration for a new visual art exhibition. His piece, titled Sonata No. 6, sounds larger than life, in part due to his notations for the performer to actually strike the keys with both fingers and arms, so it sounds like a giant is playing the piano. The title's intentionally vague as to not provide the listener too much guidance. They're free to interpret the piece how they want based on their own emotional response to it. 9 Cleveland artists listened to the piece, reacted to it, and responded by creating visual art in their preferred medium. I also spoke with Christopher Richards, who is the curator of the exhibition currently on display at the Survival Kit Gallery in Cleveland through December 17th. So obviously, you know, with both of your unique backgrounds, although both kind of delving into the creative and art space, I just want to know more about this project and how it kind of fuses music with visual arts and kind of how that all came about.
I'm the composer for the project. I'm Ryan Charles Raymer. The whole reason behind the project all boils down, the long and the short of it, is to synesthesia. So we did a similar project last year with another piece of mine called Sonata 5. And the whole concept was that we wanted to see if there would be similarities between what artists created all listening to the same piece of music. So we didn't let any of the artists communicate with each other so that all of it was independent invention.
And I am Christopher Richards. I'm the curator for the Sonata 6 project. So Sonata 5 was all about color and Sonata 6 was all about shape. And that's why I chose a lot of geometric abstraction. Something I heard in the music, actually, was these sharp, angular sounds and repetitive and variations in the melodies. And that, to me, translated to geometry. And so I sought out artists that focused on geometric abstraction in their work.
Yeah, I think his perception of sharpness was due to the fact that this particular piano piece, which is 26 minutes long, has a lot of clusters involved. So the pianist is playing several contiguous notes on the piano with his fists and with his forearms and with his elbows. So it could be perceived audio-wise as sharpness.
So I don't know a ton about composition, but is that something that was written into the piece, like bash this with your elbow, or was that just more of an expressive thing?
No, it was all very specifically notated. In fact, one of the ceramicists that's involved in Sonata 6 project used a section of the score for inspiration where the score, it says use forearm. And that's a specific indication to play this one particular chord, which is too large to play with your fingers, to use your forearm instead. So everything was notated really specifically, and any times that he was required to use his forearms or fists or elbows, that was all written into the music.
So how did you get in contact with everyone who's been involved in the project?
Chris, after he heard the music, made a list of maybe like 30 artists that he thought were working in the same vein.
They each bring something unique to the project versus whether it's painting, drawing, ceramics, installation art, and they all kind of have this quality of exploration of time and also their own personal experiences.
Yeah, so when Chris said that he was going to focus on geometric abstraction for this iteration of the sonata projects that we've been doing, I was surprised because the piano piece is really expressive. Like, it contains all the emotions, you know, that I was able to pack into a nearly half hour. And to me, geometric abstraction, from what I've seen in the past, seemed a little cold and analytical. So I was interested to see how the passion in the music was going to be portrayed in the art, in the visual art.
How long did each artist have to work on these pieces?
We gave them 9 months.
Okay.
So it was sort of like typical, you know, human gestation period. So they were given the audio recording. They were given a video of it being played, which a lot of artists responded to the physicality of watching the pianist perform it with all these different body parts. And then we also gave them a copy of the score.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what did you think once you saw the finished pieces?
I was blown away. It was obviously beyond anything I could have imagined. And what really struck me most was not just the finished pieces, they're all beautiful, but was the personal narrative that each of the artists was putting behind their work that was informed by what they heard in the music.
I feel like most of us kind of have those experiences when we listen to music as well. You know, we connect to it and maybe tie it to a memory or relate it to some emotion we're going through as well. So being able to kind of see that visually communicated from a diverse range of people is pretty special.
Yeah, the reactions were both personal and I feel also universal. Like, it wasn't something that was so esoteric. A lot of the artists were able to draw their narrative into more of like humanity.
And there were a lot of similarities too between the pieces, even though they didn't share ideas or communicate with one another. The circle is very prevalent, not just as a form, but also as elements within the pieces. There are a little series of small circular dots that a number of the artists used. If the artist didn't use a circle compositionally, a lot of the motions inside of their work had a swooping or circular motion to it as well.
Yeah, and I felt that that picked up on the music because the piano piece, Sonata 6, begins and ends on exactly the same note. So there's a circularity to the structure of the music that I feel like was represented really consistently throughout all the 9 artists.
Having that whole experience of seeing the performance, seeing the artwork, and then, like you said, observing other people in those moments of silence, just that whole experience is so special. I feel like with the pandemic and everything and people not being able to go to a lot of these events, that's maybe something people were missing or didn't realize that they were missing, was that shared experience of enjoying art and music.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is that this piece was meant to be seen as much as it is to be heard. Mm-hmm. So although a lot of people, you know, were able to listen to audio recordings here and there, it's the experience of being there in person that I think is a really critical part of music.
I also talked with pianist Nicholas Underhill, who performed Sonata No. 6, written by Ryan Charles Raymer. Nicholas teaches composition, theory, counterpoint, and orchestration at Cleveland State University, and previously taught piano at Mount Union and Hiram Colleges. He's been commissioned by multiple musicians and groups, including the Cleveland Orchestra, and has performed in venues such as Carnegie Recital Hall and Merkin Concert Hall.
One distinctive feature about this music was the use of the arms and elbows and all sorts of stuff, which has been going on since, you know, 1900 or so. But it's used extensively in this piece in combination with a kind of Rachmaninoff-ish harmonic language. And so the two of them are kind of a striking combination. And I found it very emotionally and physically involving.
Yeah, you know, I watched one of your performances of the piece, and even just listening to it, I definitely had an emotional response. And I'm curious, you know, what you thought about how the visual artists translated your playing and the piece itself into their work.
Well, it was quite interesting because since the artists had not only the sound to work with, but also the visual score, and what some of them reacted to, one particular sculptor reacted to was this big smudge in the score, which was a cluster where the smudge signifies you're whacking the piano and getting like 30 or 40 different notes. And so what that did was simply literally transform that visual image into a sculpture that went upwards from the pedestal that it was presented on. And so that was kind of a wacky and clever way of relating to the music. For instance, one that was in various shades of black, which it turns out represented slaves being transported from Africa in a journey from which they would fall or be thrown overboard. It was a very moving portrayal of that sort of, shall we say, dark aspect of the music and of life.
I also spoke with artist Katie Mongovan, whose hand-dyed indigo cotton embroidery is featured in the Sonata No. 6 project. She's a fiber artist born in China and now lives in Cleveland Heights. Her piece is titled Sonata No. 6, and it features a style of embroidery she's been doing for about 3 years now. She was inspired both by the sheet music for the piece and watching the video of Nicholas Underhill performing the sonata using his elbows and arms.
I had dyed the thread that I used in this embroidery piece at Praxis Fiber Workshop up in the Waterloo Arts District with their indigo vat. And I was inspired partly because, you know, when looking at the sheet music and then watching Nicholas perform, it's a very labor-intensive piece. You're using pretty much almost your whole body to play it. And when you're using the indigo vat, you're kind of doing something similar. You're dipping the thread into the vat for 2 minutes, holding it, and then you take it out and then you let it dry for 2 minutes in the sun, dip it back in. You're just like, you know, you're sweating, you're like holding your phone timer and you're like, what is 2 minutes up? I just like to like rest my arm. And so the similarities there were kind of striking. So I thought the indigo would be a good fit. And with the indigo, you know, there's these really interesting color changes and intensity. It's not monochromatic. It has these like shifts. And that's what I kind of felt when I was listening to the piece as well.
In some ways, it was like a very fascinating experiment, this project. So what do you hope that people take away from the project as a whole and also your piece in particular?
I guess music and art, I think they're two different ways of expressing yourself, but at the same time, they can be connected in such a deep and meaningful way. And, you know, when people think of the arts, they're like, oh, music, visual arts, performing arts. It can be segmented, but at the same time, I think there's so much room for collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, just barely being touched upon now. There's so much potential and opportunity. And I think Ryan and Chris are really paving the way for that. Their project was the first time I had ever heard of anything like this.
The Sonata No. 6 project exhibition will be on view through Friday, December 17th at the Survival Kit Gallery inside 78th Street Studios, located at 1300 West 78th Street in Cleveland. The gallery faces West 80th Street and is open to the public every third Thursday and by appointment. You can find links and see photos of the artworks at wksu.org/shuffle. We're also on Facebook at WKSU Shuffle. Join us on Thursdays for new episodes. I'm Brittany Nader. Thanks for listening.